Now, Sister Paula, Charlie and I were teasing. I don't want you to think I planned this ahead of time, all right? Don't be mad at me. Be mad at him for teasing you. One of these days, something's going to happen to either Charlie and I. And it's okay not to say a word. It was Paula. No, Luke chapter 10, verse 38. And it says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" And I want to tell you about every church I've ever been a part of. I want to tell you about every group of people I've ever been a part of. There are a Mary, and there is a Martha. Now, from Martha's perspective, the difference between her and her sister was one was doing the work, and the other was not. But that is not the group that the Lord calls out here. What is the distinction that Christ called out? Verse 41, "And Jesus said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things.'" Now, today the word careful has degraded a bit, as much as the English language has. When we see in the proper English what careful means, it's filled with care. When we are replacing a light bulb, we are careful not to break it. When we are around the instruments, we are careful not to break them, right? We don't want to push a button accidentally. We cross a street, we are careful not to get hit by a car. That's not what we are addressing here. You should be careful. Right? If I am serving the Lord, I should be careful, right? I should not be haphazard. My meals should be cooked to safe temperatures. The things that I put on and show up to church in, they should be clean and well put together. When we do things for the Lord, either a special or whatever have you, we do them in the biblical way, which is to say we do all things to the honor and glory of God. We should be careful. What we shouldn't be is filled with care. The modern day version of it, yes, be careful. But in the way that it was translated, what careful meant then is to be so filled with care. You ever do something and you're so concerned and you're so frazzled by it, it makes your hand shake a little bit? I've been there, I'm sure you have too. Maybe it was handling something you've never handled before, or being around something delicate. You were nervous just to touch it. And it almost ruined the whole experience because you're just so fraught with worry. I tell you what, conferences can be that way. I'm looking over at some of you like, "Well, why are you talking about me?" Listen, it's all of us. And we've got some visitors here. You go talk to the Cummins. They'll tell you I'm right. I know this for a fact, I'm right. We get to serving the Lord, and we get worried, and we get frazzled, and we get anxious. It happens. And if you don't learn to put those things in the Lord's hands, it will ruin what you're doing. Imagine being Martha for just a second, to be able to serve the Lord. What mindset would you have? We're cooking for a bunch of people. Imagine making deviled eggs and you're going to give that over to the Son of God, your Redeemer. You're going to go and you're going to fry some chicken for the Savior of men. Would that make you a little bit nervous about how many of the spices you're putting in there? That'd make you nervous, wouldn't it? And when we're nervous, what do? We get clippy. The devil starts to get into our heads. That's not good enough. You really should have even started. Look at her over there. She's not doing anything. How dare she? Do you think the Lord could see the spot in my dress? Do you think he'll notice that I didn't get that cobweb over there in the corner? And we get ruined. Whereas poor Mary, she's just sitting there on the floor. She's having a time. Why? Because she is enraptured in the words that Jesus is speaking. What is the purpose of the food? So that as we looked at recently, as through the preaching all day, we don't get weary. So that we can have sustenance and we can have fellowship and yes, maybe even a little bit of fun. What is the purpose? To honor and glory God. And you'd think with that business at our hands, us being allowed into that particular labor, what joy we should have. But instead we become encumbered. Marthas, they come in two different flavors from my experience. Number one are the people who crave or fear acceptance. I can't serve God because they won't want me to. Now, if I were to ask you to raise your hands and you were being dead honest with me, that's every single last one of us. What I'm doing, I'm not good enough to do. And they might not let me do it. I've been there. There was times in my training from Brother Hugen where I'd go, hey, Pastor, you want me to help with this? And he'd look over and he'd say, not yet. Now, he had a good way of doing that. You know, part of it was a joke. The other part was he was going to come back and teach me how. So the next time I said, hey, can I do that? I'd be able to do that, no worries. Now, I still mess it up because that is within my nature, but the training was there. The teaching was there. You know what else was there? The open door to come on in. A lot of work goes into these conferences. I know that. You know that. We are familiar. And I do not mean to lessen the strain or to cheapen it with my words, but I'm going to be honest. We are not performing rocket surgery. That's a thing, right? Some of the kids just looked over at each other. We're not getting to the moon here, folks. It is a lot of work. Again, I'm not trying to belittle it. I'm not trying to be dismissive. I am appreciative of all of this. And these people that come will be appreciative. And the Lord will look down and he will be glad for the work that we are doing if our hearts are right. But we can let some folks in and we can teach some folks how to do things. Because if not, what happens? Let me tell you what I've learned in business. Every time I was called to go over to another office that was having a hard time, I found this. You had the people who you had two groups of people that didn't get along. You had the people that were doing 80% of the work who were tired and fatigued, and they got mad at the other percentage of people who didn't come. But you know what I'd always find? It was almost always the leasing manager and one or two of the leasing agents who was mad at everybody. And I said, all right, well, how about we let the new guy step in and do this? No, we've been doing this for a very long time. And if anybody steps up to do it, right, they might not do it as perfectly as we do. And I, more often than not, it was something mundane and ridiculous. And I would say, hey, listen, it's answering voicemails. You don't need a college degree to answer a voicemail. Right? And we look within the church. Well, what's going on? Well, if we don't set the corn out just right, what's going to happen? We set the corn out wrong. Is it going to pop? Somebody comes by and they say, oh, here, let me show you how to do this. Is that not how we've always been doing things? I've been watching y'all for a long time. That's what I've seen. Hey, let me show you how to do that. And by the way, that's the right way to do it. Hey, let me show you how to do this. And you know what that means? That means my leasing manager and a couple of the leasing agents, they don't fry under the pressure. And you don't have people who are this flavor of Martha who sit there and go, no one trusts me to do anything. They're the people who fear, well, maybe they won't accept what I do. Maybe what I do isn't good enough. And then you've got the other side who fear failure, who expect if they do not have those spoons pristine clean, their mom or dad's going to come out of the closet and whip their tail in front of everybody at that conference. We ought to do everything wonderfully because it's unto the Lord. But there's a point when our fear of failure distracts us from the main reason we're doing things. And I would not call it OCD. I would call it an honor and a respect to God. We used to have that at Flat Rock. Make sure all the silverware is facing the same way. And that makes sense to me because I don't want you to reach into the thing and touch the spoon part of the spoon. I don't know what that, the shovel part of the spoon, I don't know. I don't want you to touch my shovel part of the spoon while you're grabbing the stem part of yours. Right? You can correct me later on the names. That makes sense to me. We do things in a decent and orderly way because God wants things done in a decently and orderly way. But if we're sitting there scolding spiders for building webs in the corners, we're going to have a rough time connecting with God during this conference. What do we see? We see the need for give and take, not anger, teaching. And for those who, well, every time I try, this is a good year for you to try again. And let us have an open and teachable and sharing spirit. Well, last time Brother so-and-so smacked my hand and sent me away. Listen, I know Brother Mike's difficult. No one's been chased out of this kitchen more than me, and I've not been here very long. You know what I mean? Children and me, get out, get out. But you get, I make a joke, but I think we could all point to a time when we've been made to feel like we're not welcome to do something. This is a good year to try again. And I would recommend that for those who are doing the labor, this is your opportunity to hand things down. We talked on Sunday about there's the wisdom department of the church, and there is the working department of the church. Right? And there is a moment where people with solid amounts of wisdom, their bodies don't do what they want them to do anymore, and they retire from the work, and they're part of just the wisdom body. But hey, before you make that transition, run with the people taking the baton. I was at a young preacher's conference, and a few of the preachers got up, and they preached about how it's time for us to stand up. And one of them said, to fix the mistakes the older generation had made. Yeah! There was very few amens. And Brother Hugan, he got up, and he clarified. We run together for a while. And he didn't say it like this, but in my head, this is what I heard. Because you don't know what you're doing yet. We've all been frustrated by people doing something either at work, whatever, where you're working with somebody. For some of you in school, if you've been a part of group projects, when you're working with people that don't quite do it the way you do it, that is a point for us to compromise, if compromise is okay, right? We're not saying we do things worse. But if there's two different ways to do something right, we can move back and forth a little. Or for us to educate if somebody's completely missed the mark. Well, why don't we do it like this? Oh yeah, well, listen, we've been doing this. This is why. Because when we did this, it failed and terrible things happened, so we do it this way. Oh. So if you got two ways to do it and both of them work, a little bit of discussion, love, forbearance, working it out. Again, if there was only somebody who could referee those things in a church, someone we could trust to make those decisions, hint, 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 hint. And if you have somebody who has an idea that's absolutely not going to work, that's an educational moment, isn't it? Because more often than not, when we get a young person, and I don't mean to single you guys out, when we get a young person who works underneath of somebody who knows what they're doing, they're going to make suggestions. You want to know why they're going to make suggestions? Because they want to prove to you that they are worth your time. And they're trying to impress you with the way their mind works. And the only way that they're going to be able to do that is if you put something in there that actually is impressive. They need you to be patient. They need you to not just validate them openly, but to teach them how to be right. And we say young person, but it could be anybody. Hey, why is it? You know, we've got some things here. Why is it the pastor doesn't want? Why is it the pastor wants us to use gloves when we're handling food? I'll tell you. Well, I don't. You know, where I came from, just washing my hands is good enough. Okay, but for here, this is what we do. We educate, we teach. Right? There's purposes to it. So you've got the one that fears failure, the one that desires acceptance but can't have it. And when you've got that situation, we dive straight over to anxiety. Not the anxiety that we see today in the world that comes from too much TikTok and 7-second videos and overstimulation of the brain. Not that kind of anxiety, but the anxiety that comes from being in a situation and being so frustrated at what's going on, you don't know what to do. I can't touch the work because I'm not good enough. Or I can't hand the work over because nobody else is good enough. Or what fuels all of us, at least maybe it's just me, it's not enough. Now there are two women in that back pew who knows if I had a theme for my life, it's that. It's not enough. It's not enough. We need to give up those petty fears, those petty concerns. A meal is a meal, a dish is a dish. Things go well, things don't go well. We get back to the preaching. We cannot be so overly focused. We can't put our ego into what we're doing to where we lose track of what's most important. Listen, someone's going to drop a spoon. One of you is going to be making a dish or something, and maybe one or two of them fall out, and you've got to show up, and maybe it's like a deviled egg, and there's two missing spots. And you're like, I don't want to show up with one missing egg. People are going to know I got gravity in my house. Just do what my wife does. Blame it on me. He ate it. What's the purpose of what we're doing? To please God, to serve God. And what is the purpose of saying that what we're doing is to please God if all we're ever focused on is how we feel about what we did? Let's get the work done. Let's bring folks along with us. Hey, listen, a conference is good for a lot of things. And I know I said I would keep this short, but you know me by now. A conference is good for a lot of things. Preaching happens. Fellowship happens. But you know there's some side effects that happen within the church. They grow closer if they do it right. They grow closer. Because we're working together and we're getting to know each other better. And we're getting to understand each other better. But if our focus is off, man, the way the Lord would have had it is Mary and Martha would have been there and he would have been teaching them and blessing them both. You know, he didn't need perfectly made bread. We looked at that. He could make his own bread, man. He didn't need much to make a lot. Again, we should be focused. We should be careful of what we're doing. But it ought not steal away the purpose. Because you see, if we can do what Philippians 1:27 says and strive together, we grow together. We build together. We have love and communication. However, if we stick our egos either in feeling good about ourselves or feeling bad about ourselves, because by the way, picking on yourself is a sign of a massive ego. Brother, how? Because it's the only thing you're thinking about. You following me? Whether you think you're the greatest thing on earth or you think you're the worst thing on the earth, you're thinking about yourself just a little bit too much. Instead, oh, what great fellowship we had. Oh, great love. Oh, what great joy. You ever have a fellowship where there was no food at all, but it was a good conversation? I have. You ever have fantastic food and it was still a good conversation? Bet you have. No food, great food. If accidents happen, accidents happen. Lord's in control of all things. What are you going to do? Instead, we focus on what is most important. We strive together to create a God-honoring experience, a God-honoring atmosphere, not just for the people that are here. Listen, I want the people that come to enjoy themselves, but number one, I want God to look down and say, yes, this is good. Yes, this is a great sound coming from that building. Yes, my people's hearts are open to me. That's what I want. That'd be great. We want to put God at the center and strive together, work together to accomplish a godly time, a God-honoring time, a biblical scriptural time. Because at that point, then we can be like Mary. Mary, who enjoyed his presence. Listen, there's not much you can do at a Baptist cookout that you're going to have some trouble with. You ever walk away from a conference or a revival and been like, whew, that food ruined it for me? I've never. That might just be because of, anyway. I've never walked away going, tacos. What were they thinking? Did you see they burned that one cake? I can't believe they put out that half-burned cake. That was some dry turkey. Never in my life! Most of the time I'm trying to put Band-Aids on my toes. I'm walking away from these things. Because the preacher's done went and stepped all over them. That's what it's about. That's what it's for. As long as my socks are just a little bloodier than when I came, that's a good time. If I can walk away with a new wind, with more breath in my lungs, more zeal in my head, man, that'd be wonderful. Mary, who enjoyed his presence, Mary, whose worship led to her washing his feet with her hair. You know what I plan on doing this weekend? Man, I tell you what, if we get one thing right, I want it to be the worship. I'm not talking about the worship experience with the hallelujah and the band playing just right and the 7-verse-long invitation. I'm not talking about people kumbaya going back and forth. I'm not talking about a zealous experience or an emotional experience. I'm talking about hearts opening up in gratitude and love towards God. You can do it while the preaching's happening. You could do it while we're singing. You could do it while you're just sitting together. I had the good opportunity to pull someone aside at the ordination this last weekend. Pulled someone aside. We just got to praying, and in the prayer it turned into worship. Oh, it was a wonderful time. We need to worship. We need to open our hearts and tell God how grateful we are. We got a great building. We got some great friends coming. We've got folks coming down from Florida or coming up from Florida. It's going to be wonderful to have people here. It's going to be wonderful to have the preaching happening. It's going to be great preaching. How do you know it's going to be great preaching? Because I've been praying that God bless this conference. And if God's going to bless it, man, that's one of the best ways he could do it. Lord, bless these preachers. Bless these pastors as they come and they open up God's word and let us worship and let us adore God. Mary, who when her brother died, she ran to Christ. Martha stayed in the house. Go ahead and read that again. Martha stayed in the house, but Mary ran. At least I believe I've gotten that right. I have to double check. There's some of us, many of us, going through hard times. I meant to open up with prayer requests, but pray for Brother Tim. They found a basal cell cancer in his nose. They're going to have to treat that. Praying for that. Pray for Kelly. She's over there with her dad now. Her stepmother passed away today, a couple hours ago. Sister Danielle, we found out today we are headed towards surgery, and I'll be honest with you. That's been right here on me. Doctor said, perhaps I can find the source of the symptoms, and that would mean an easier process and things will be fine. And you know how sometimes there's like this long pause, and then, aha, we didn't get the long pause. It was immediate. I didn't even get to say the Lord's name. And he goes, up, there it is. And we understand that it'll still be surgery, but I felt a weight lift off of me. I felt as though I'd lost 100 pounds. Just June's going to be a big month for surgeries in our church. Surgeries and procedures. I believe we've got Sister Ruth Ann and Brother Mike. And when's yours, brother? You already had it? Here's the thing. When I say update me on prayer, never mind, we'll talk later. I'm going to get an alert mid-June with your name on it. That's how birthdays keep popping up out of order up there, by the way. But I believe Sister Sherry's got something up there too, don't she? We got a lot of things going on. And many of you deal with chronic illnesses and sorrows, and we've got things we've got on the prayer request list that just weigh like a chain around our neck. Man, wouldn't this weekend be a wonderful, wonderful time to take those needs and those burdens and once again, as we were told to do, lay them. You don't have to wait for this weekend. You could do that tonight again if it's beating on you. But a wonderful time to let that preaching wash over you, to let the sound of this room be filled with singing and let that hit you. Man, sometimes all you need is a break, don't you? Lord, I trust you in handling this. Lord, I know you've got it covered. But there is something about being amongst God's people and wonderful things happening, and it just takes that out of your head for a while. Let us be more like that. So I did not, why I take that back. I say I don't mean things, but sometimes I do. So I'm going to be honest. I meant to rip open some scars. I hope I did. I hope that if you're here and you're hurting over work in the church, I hope I've done you some good today. I hope I've done right by you. Because we've all been there. I don't care what business you're in. I don't care what church you're a member of. You've got the one person who's far too worried. And you've got the other person who's seeing the main thing. And I fear that more often than not, God's people spend a little bit too much time in Martha's shoes. It's too easy for us. It all has to be right. Right? Because it's the Lord. And that leads to some undue pressure. Some undue hurt. So let us bond together to do that which is right. What I'd like to do is I'd like to have a hand.